Steve, first of all, what team news do you have this weekend?
Craig Morgan suspended, Paul Fye Bookings. Apart from that, the long-term boys, Worrell, probably two weeks away from being back with us. He's back in training, but he need that little pre-season input. Claude Davis, probably 2 or 3 weeks now, so everyone else available.
Have you got anybody else walking a tightrope with yellow cards at the moment?
I think Kari Arneson is. I think he's on 4. I've looked at all the bookings in isolation. I feel for my players, the Frecklington and O'Connor both missed last week, especially Lee Frecklington. If he's ever committed a bad challenge in his career, never mind 5 bookings this early in the season. But we seem to be on the wrong end of that. But hey, there's no point in complaining that they are where they are.
Have you got the depth in the squad to cope with such things?
Yeah, we've got a fantastic squad, Paul. We're playing, apart from, how would I describe our season, a poor 45 minutes against Swindon, poor-ish against Leighton Orient first half last week. The rest of the time, our football's been just sensational. Well, I've got to say, it's been outstanding. And we know what we're lacking. You don't need to be a football coach to work it out. We need someone who can put the ball in the net. But we have a criteria here that, on top of that, we need them to work as hard as they possibly can. And we're no far away. We've got a jigsaw where we've got many parts of it right, but arguably a big part of that jigsaw is missing somewhere. And we've got people here with CVs that says they should be scoring goals. So we need to go on the training ground with them and work as hard as we can. And then look where the back end of the year into January takes us. Because one thing we know, my chairman won't be frightened to spend a penny or two. And, I'm probably holding them at bay because I want these guys we've got to prove what I think they'll do if they leave here and go somewhere else. They'll score goals.
Yeah.
We're making the chances. The frustration is unbelievable in the dressing room after games. And, it's getting to the stage now where we need them to deliver. That's what they get paid for.
How much of a concern is it?
Well, it's a concern if you're dominating matches. Mm. I think there's a difference of having concern, extremely worried. I think if you'd been at a football club where there was no sign of any positive football, no sign of penetration, no sign of class, no sign of dominance in games, and you were getting outplayed most weeks, you've got horrendous problems, aren't you? You're back to the Rotherham of 2 and 3 years ago, dare I say, or you're back to other teams that's local to us that seem to have no way out. We're actually in the top of our game with some players that are really in the top of the game with some top form. But ultimately, we'll all only get judged on results. And I don't want to be one of these managers that comes in week after week and say, well, we've not played very well, but we'll take the result. I want us to, we have to play here with a certain fashion, a certain style. And I grew up watching Glasgow Celtic, I keep saying it, and Glasgow Rangers were the same. They don't just have to win. They have to win with an element of class and style and performance about it. We done that last year. When we played, we were the best in the league, I've said it. We're in 13 games in or whatever we are in, 14 games in. I've not seen anyone better when we're at it. So we've got an element of style and performance and that about our game, but we're missing a key product, which is vastly important to us.
How much of a dilemma is it for a manager when your strikers aren't scoring? Because there's one element that will say, take that player out, let him have a rest. But there's the other half that will say, well, if he's not playing, he's not going to score. So where are you in all of that?
Well, I think what we've never done is we've put the strikers. If we say we've got 4 main strikers, Ravel, Eves, Tubbs and Nardiello, none of those strikers has just had an opportunity to come off the bench and play 20 minutes. They've all had an opportunity to start matches. They've all had an opportunity to come on early in matches. They've had an opportunity to come on late in matches. So we can only mix and match it as best that comes. And then we really are at the stage where we have to look in training and seeing who's looking most likely in training to get us a goal, who's working as hard as we need them to work in training to get a goal. And then pick the team from there and we work as hard as we can to make it, Tom.
So who's catching your eye at the moment then?
I think to be fair, we're looking at Ravel still works as hard as anyone, and his confidence has gone down a bit. And I think that's principally because of one game. Other than that, he's been great for us. And you would have to say that the other three guys are much of the same. We were disappointed with Daniel Nardiello in the last few weeks because his work rate gone down. If his work rate goes down, it's not a secret. He done it last year. He don't get in the positions. He don't get the goals. I think probably Tubbs is the most unlucky of them all. He's probably not had the confidence of the one or two or three games. But I answered some questions earlier. This, I ain't a manager to say, Tubbs, you've got 5 or 6 games, son. I'll just live with whatever comes for 5 or 6 games. 1 or 2 games is too many. 5 or 6 is a monster amount of time.
Mm. And with regards to Tubbs, do you feel he's been given enough of an opportunity then?
Well, he started games, hasn't he? Mm. And he started reserve games and he's come on in games. So he's had his opportunities. Yeah, there's not one player who can come in at office and say, I've not had an opportunity. If there's one, it's probably young Michael Tidson. His opportunity would have come, but he was nearly 100%, so he wasn't involved with us, or he was on the bench. But arguably, he jumped up on Monday and was outstanding in the reserves. But central midfield, we're actually very lucky, aren't we? We've got some wonderful talent in there. When you look at Mielsen is the one that's really showing. For me, Frecklington has found his form again after a couple of weeks of being off it. Michael O'Connor's coming back from injury. Ben Pringle is coming back to the form. Guard's been great for us on the right side. Midfield is a really strong area. Defensively, we've been strong, we've been decent, and we know what we're lacking, I keep saying it.
I gather you played Nardiello wider, though, recently, Orient. What was the thinking there?
Well, we brought him off the bench later, and we knew that... that we wanted another striker on the pitch. That was the first thought process. And we know when Naldiello gets wide and he's up for it, he'll get the ball and he'll create and he can go by people as if they're not there.
Mm.
And it's no hidden secret that a lot last season he got his goals from a wider area rather than down centrally. But the first criteria in our team, Paul, is you have to work hard. I think it's the first time I heard supporters shouting and asked to run about the last couple of home games. And he's got such wonderful talent now. I've always said it, if there's one chance falls in a game and who do you want on the end of it, we would want Daniel Nardiello on it. But there's no point in thinking that if he's not going to work hard to get in the chance in the area, if that makes sense to you. But we've got a wonderful squad of players. Don't think for 1 minute our strikers are not hurting but not scoring. Individually they're hurting. And probably it's unusual where three or four of them just go down a yard in terms of goal scoring and return at the same time. But that's what we're facing. But what in the plus side, we've got an outstanding team. And how far have we come in 15 months? The length of the M1, that's how far we've come. We're a wholly recognised top team in League One now. We're not a League Two team patching a squad together to try and get out of League Two at the first time of asking in a real precarious season where season upon season, managers like Mark Robbins, Andy Scott, Ronnie Moore had all failed. You know, we managed to get up over the line and we've enhanced on that this year. But we're hurting at the minute. We're hurting at the minute because our performances are not getting us what we think we should get. And the only way to resolve that hurt is to staff to the sound, just to work harder.
You've just come through a very testing set of fixtures. What's it told you about the league and how your team can compete at this level?
The league is a definite step up from League Two in everything.
Yeah.
Everything's better. Have we adjusted? Absolutely. We're 2 points off the playoffs. And we've just had a run where we've lost 4 and 6 or something. But when you break those, you have to break the components down. You have to look and say, have we lost 4 and 6? Because we've just been outplayed 4 and 6. Peterborough United at home. They wore ski masks on the way home. It was embarrassing why they got away with the points. Ronnie comes, we try and me and get a point. They've one shot at goal. It's a penalty. It's a ski mask job again. We don't argue the fact that we should have come out late in Orient with anything, despite the fact that we've dominated against the league leaders like no one has in 45 minutes because our first half performance was poor. And no one's going to sit here and defend Swindon. I'm certainly not. I'm the opposite. But you have to look at each and every component. We're 2 points from the playoffs. We're 4 points from fourth on the table. Would we have taken that back in the summer? Oh, dear. Absolutely.
Yeah. And what's nice is, a lot of calls to our programme, if not all, despite the fact they're disappointed with the run at the minute, they're all very level-headed. The Millers fans, and that's quite refreshing actually. No one's getting carried away, and a lot of fans are taking the view, well, look, we've done great to get this far, we've had some great results already this year, so we ain't going to get carried away when there's a few bumps in the road, which for a manager must be nice to hear.
Well, I was told when I first come here that when the times got rocky, the fans would smash the players up and they'd smash the staff up and the manager up. It's what you're told.
Yeah.
I've seen the opposite to that. When we were here last year and we lost some bad games at home to Wickham and Bristol Rovers, and there's a few shouts of discontent from individuals, not collective group, individuals. Some of that was deserving because we were poor and we shouldn't have been losing those games. But the bulk of the group, the bulk of the support group was always with us. This season's been absolutely, unbelievably fantastic. But in saying that, we've given them some fantastic performances. I think the Millers fans are very on. The Rotherham people are Glasgow people. They're salt of the earth, they're honest, they're working class, they'll say it as it is. And I think they must be going back to their cars and out the stadium thinking, why have we not won that game? Why have we lost that game? The quality of the play was great. But they've been fantastic. But you know what? We need them now more than we need them ever. this period up until January. Listen, Tony Stewart's sitting there waiting for me to spend his money, isn't he? And I'm going to spend it. He knows I'm going to spend it. But he's always just telling me, get me value for money, get somebody up, make a difference. We could go to the market today, Paul, and bring another loan player in that might or might not get goals. So we've thought about it this week. I've said, no, I don't want to be in a might not, might situation. And you can't buy guarantees. I was very fortunate on, as I mentioned, that Sunday evening, I went to a very unique event, a private dinner for the retirement of a man I've got enormous respect for, former Scotland boss Craig Brown. 20 odd people there, probably less. And some real names in that room. And I used that to talk to every one of them, not to network, but to talk about some of the issues we got with it. Some of them wouldn't know the names of our squad players because some of them are at the top level.
Mm.
But saying, this is the issue I've got. How would you manage this? Would you do anything differently? And the common theme that came out of that, you have to buy a goal. Now I looked at one manager and said, what do you mean you have to buy a goal? He said, you have to buy a goal. What does it mean again? I asked a second time. He says, it's quite simple, son. The boys that put the ball in the net cost you money. And that's true.
Mm.
So we're not going to be jumping into anything quick, because if we made Nardiello available, or Tubbs went back to Bournemouth and was available, or Tom Eaves at Bolton was available, Big Revs was available, the phone wouldn't stop. The phone wouldn't stop, would it? Because they've all went in isolation, got track records of putting the ball in the net, or track records of being big assets. But if we're in the pack, and if we're in the pack, we've got a difficult 2 months coming. We've got a great run of games in November, real tough December, and then the January market will open up. Mm. And if we need to go and get the right people in, I know I've got somebody behind me, our chairman, who'll do everything that he can. And all he ever says to me, Steve, is, do I get value for money? And if I don't say yes, I can't allow them to join us.
So it's unlikely then you'll do anything between now and January, is that what you say, in the market?
No, I never said that.
You'll do the bulk of your work
in January. If we're being clear on what I'm saying, is that
yeah.
I have come to the conclusion myself is that unless you find a little gem somewhere in a Premiership under 21s or somebody has a fallout at Championship level and you get them to give them game time. That's what you're getting them. And you have to buy a goal. So that probably tells me we have to buy a striker. And we have to buy a proven track record guy who goes and sticks the ball in it. And for every reason in the world, we've tried to do that with these guys that we've got here now.
Mm.
But the rest of the group and the strikers that we've got here at present need to step forward, need to get us back to winning ways, and need to get us in that group at the turn of the year. Because if we're in it, I keep saying it, but the longer we're in it, the more chance we're likely to get in it. Mm. Nobody would want to play us in the playoffs. Would you want to play rather than in the playoffs? Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United, when they want to play us in the playoffs. Could we beat them? We have to just remain focused, one game at a time. And another fantastic manager told me, you know, don't get too low and don't get too high. And we've done that last season. We've done it this season. And I was describing now how I felt on Sunday night as really frustrated, almost pulling the few hairs I've got left in my head out. And no worried because of the performances. And they said, if you keep playing like that, it will come. It will come. You have to keep doing that, because the bigger problem is, like we spoke about at the start, no playing well, being poor, having no game plan or no B plan, and it just goes pear shaped. We're not going to pear shaped. We're all worried. We're 2 points off the playoffs in League One. We've made enormous strides forward, haven't we?
And the next game is Colchester. What do you expect? Beat Peterborough, of course. That's a warning, isn't it?
Yeah, they did. I had a long chat with Darren. I've had a look at the DVD, Darren Ferguson, the posh to confirm that. Deservedly beaten, I think. You know, I think Colchester deserve to win the game when you look at it in totality. Joe Dunn has made one or two good signings defensively, so they've stopped leaking goals. And they'll come here. We know how they're going to play. Like, the kettle goes on here for most teams, doesn't it? They'll be 11 behind the ball and they'll try and counter-attack us. But we have to have confidence that, you know, if we go out and we put our front foot forward and we get at it and we get at them, then we can get back to winning ways. But it's going to be tough. You know, I mean, I think anyone would have seen last week at the top of the table, Leighton Orient versus Rotherham. It's tough for Leighton Orient. Colchester against Peterborough, 3 points for Peterborough. That's how tough. Just have a look at who beats who in League One at the minute. It's a real tough competitive environment. And if I look just closer to home, magnificent cup draw, Bradford City at home. They're 2 points above in the playoffs. They're all having a party in Bradford still, aren't they? Because they're flying. Yeah. Phil Parkinson said to me last 10 days ago, we were at an events evening, he said, Steve, we're flying. And I woke up on Sundays frustrated at arm and in the Holy Land of Scotland and looked at the paper and went, we're 2 points behind them. They're flying and I'm depressed.
Yeah.
It's all about standards.
Mm. Just to finish on the goalkeeping situation, Collins obviously got the shirt at the moment. How do you feel he's done and how do you feel that's affected Scott Shearer?
Well, I don't really care about Scott Shearer in that sense. Mm. Scott is a top goalkeeper. He's a young man that we love working with. He had his chance. He made some mistakes. You don't get taken out Steve Evans' team by making a mistake or two. That would be wrong in my opinion as a manager. And you walk with him. Adam is sat there. He's not the type of man who battles your door down and says, I want to get in. He come in against York. I thought he'd done everything that he had to do. There's a couple of games probably leading up a few weeks ago we'd have put him in and he didn't have the most convincing reserve or training session games.
Mm.
But we brought him in for Tranmere. He had nothing to do. Nothing. We went down to Leighton Orient and he didn't have a lot to do first half. Second half, when we're taking the game to them, they've a counter-attack. He's had two or three outstanding saves. And that's what you need from your goalkeeper, don't you? So he's got the shot. And you know what? If he's got the shot in the end of April, May next year, then great. It makes no difference to me. I pick the team so honestly. My players can never, ever, or they don't come in. And I know they won't come in on the basis of why I pick somebody and know them. There'll be a reason. There'll have been discussed the reason beforehand. Because we pick the team here very, very honestly. And that's never going to change. Listen, I'd play Jungo if I thought you'd keep the ball in the net. And I would play Rob Stanton up front if I thought he'd get a goal. And I'm sorry about Andy Ginnings, you'd only ever make the bench.
That's not good.